Welcome to the Castlery Security Cybercast, your trusted source for navigating the intricate landscape of cybersecurity. In an era where digital threats are surging and data breaches are rampant, the imperative to shield both personal and corporate information has never been more critical. Join us as we dissect cutting-edge insights and developments, empowering you to fortify your defenses against the escalating tide of cyber perils. And now, here's your hosts, the founders of Castlery Security, Austin Farrell and Josh Hawk.
Hello to all our dedicated listeners and a warm welcome to those tuning into Castlery Cybercast for the first time. I'm Austin, your cyber navigator, charting our course through the vast and stormy waters of the digital realm.
And I'm Josh. Think of me as your digital lifeguard, always ready to throw you a lifeline when the tech talk gets too deep. Austin, our dive into the Stuxnet saga, if I can talk right, last week was absolutely riveting. It felt like a blend of James Bond meets Silicon Valley.
That's well put, Josh. The world of cybersecurity isn't just ones and zeros. It's filled with intrigue, suspense, and high stakes. And speaking of high stakes, today we're moving from covert cyber ops to the outright brazen world of ransomware. Imagine a world where your personal memories, documents, and even entire business operations can be held hostage by faceless criminals demanding their pound of digital gold.
Yikes, it sounds like someone's taking over your house and demanding rent. Digital hostage situation, if you will. So with so many of us living a significant part of our lives online, the threat feels even more personal. So Austin, how about we turn on the decryption key for our listeners and unravel the enigma that is ransomware?
Sounds like a plan, Josh. So let's set sail into these treacherous waters and shed light on the shadows of the digital underworld. Let's hop into our digital time machine and take a stroll down cyber memory lane. Do you remember the time when the mention of a computer virus drew images of minor annoyances? Maybe your PC would crash or you'd get bizarre messages on your screen.
Oh yeah, I remember those days pretty vividly. The I love you a virus, I remember, was a big thing for a while. The deceptive Anna Kournikova email attachment. They were frustrating and yet funny all at once.
Those were the days when malware was akin to digital graffiti, mostly harmless and often created by mischief makers seeking a momentary thrill. But as our world grew more interconnected and as the value of digital data surged, so did the motivations behind these malicious creations.
So from teenage pranks to professional heists, is that the transformation we're looking at?
Spot on. As our dependence on digital data grew, so did the stakes. Instead of just defacing your digital walls, cyber criminals realized they could lock you out of your own digital home. Imagine coming home one day to find your door sealed with a note demanding payment to let you back in. That's ransomware in a nutshell.
A sinister evolution, to say the least. So instead of just leaving a digital footprint, these cyber culprits now hold our most precious data hostage.
Exactly. The malicious code that once played pranks on your screen now threatens to erase memories, halt businesses, and even compromise critical infrastructure. The mere annoyance of yesterday has morphed into today's digital extortion.
And to make matters worse, they demand payment in things like Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? The cryptocurrencies. Why the preference for this over, say, traditional money?
So it all circles back to the term crypto, or short for cryptography. It's an age-old technique of secret communication. It forms the bedrock of these digital currencies. The cryptographic foundation ensures transactions are both secure and, crucially for criminals, difficult to trace.
So the very techniques that make our online privacy and security have been weaponized by these digital kidnappers.
Bitterly ironic, isn't it? And while we have the cryptography on one side, cryptanalysis, the art of cracking those codes without the key, becomes our weapon in this digital war. Ransomware becomes a real-time thriller with the good guys trying to outsmart the nefarious coders.
It's a world of hidden messages, shadowy figures. It's high-stakes poker, but with so much on the line, wouldn't it be just easier to pay the ransom and reclaim the files?
It's tempting, but paying comes with its own Pandora's box of complications. And that, my friend, is a deep dive we'll plunge into shortly. So stay tuned as we navigate these treacherous waters together.
All right, so we've touched on the dark alleys of ransomware, but I'm eager to explore more. Have there been other cyber heists that left the indelible mark on our digital history?
Without a doubt. The world of ransomware is an ever-evolving saga, with each attack offering a grim reminder of our interconnected vulnerabilities. While WannaCry and NotPetya are poster children for the devastation ransomware can wreak, there are many other attacks that underline the severity of this menace.
All right, don't just tease me. Tell me about these other heists.
All right, so let's rewind back to 2013 with the advent of CryptoLocker. It's considered one of the pioneering ransomware strains. It encrypted files and demanded a ransom in Bitcoin. And while it might not have had a sheer scale of later attacks, it set a dangerous precedent and provided a blueprint for its malicious successors.
So kind of like opening Pandora's box.
Exactly. And then fast forward to 2018, and Atlanta became a prime example of how ransomware could cripple local governments. Their city services were completely paralyzed, with hackers demanding $51,000 in ransom. And while that might not sound like a massive amount, the real cost was in the recovery. Atlanta spent over $2.6 million to restore their systems.
So that is a significant blow to any city, and it's not just governments. Private entities are at risk too, right?
Absolutely. In 2020, Garmin, the tech company we associate with fitness trackers and GPS navigators, they faced a major outage. The culprit? Wasted Locker ransomware. The whispers in the cyber corridor suggest Garmin may have paid up to $10 million to retrieve their data.
Woo, that is a colossal sum. And it makes you wonder too, for every big fish that we hear about out there, how many smaller entities silently pay up, fearing reputational damage or other kind of harm?
Small to medium businesses, educational institutions, hospitals, they've all been targets. It's the unspoken side of ransomware. Many attacks go unreported because entities either pay up discreetly or fear the backlash of public knowledge. The real scope is likely much larger than we can imagine right now.
That's kind of a sobering thought. And amidst all this, there are hints of geopolitics too, aren't there?
Indeed. So take, for example, the Shadow Brokers incident. This mysterious group leaked a series of hacking tools, allegedly from the National Security Agency. One of those tools was then used in the WannaCry attack. There's a tangled web of motivations from pure financial gain to political sabotage. The line between criminal enterprises and nation states is blurring significantly.
It's a world of shadows, secrets, codes. With increasing digitalization, the impact isn't just virtual. It's affecting our lives and real systems in a very real way.
Precisely. And that's the crux of the matter. From delayed medical treatments due to hospital system outages to disrupted supply chains, ransomware is a digital storm with very tangible consequences. And as technology intertwines further with our daily lives, the imperatives of cybersecurity become paramount in our modern civilization.
So with stakes this high, it begs the question, how do we protect ourselves in this digital battlefield? So we've touched upon the basics of how ransomware gets into our systems, but I'm curious, how sophisticated do these attacks actually become? I mean, surely we've grown smarter over time.
We've evolved, but so have the cyber criminals. The strategies they use are as varied as they are ingenious. So let's break down some of the more devious techniques.
Sounds like we're doing a deep dive. All right, lead the way.
So let's start with spear phishing. While the general phishing emails cast a wide net, hoping someone will bite, spear phishing is specifically targeted. The attacker will research a specific individual at an organization and craft a personalized email to them, making the lure harder to resist.
That's kind of scary. It's like having a digital stalker.
Precisely. Another menacing method is watering hole attacks. Here, attackers won't target an individual directly. Instead, they'll infect websites frequently visited by their target group. Once someone from that group visits the compromised site, boom, they get the malware. And a lot of times, the way that will work is they'll create a malicious ad where the malicious code is in the ad. And when it loads, when you go to a completely separate website, that's how you get infected.
So if they can't get you directly, they're going to go after your favorite digital hangouts.
Crafty, isn't it? Another avenue is exploit kits. So these are software tools that cyber criminals will use to exploit vulnerabilities in software applications. They will lie in wait on malicious websites, and if you visit and have an outdated software version, the kit will pounce and install ransomware on your system.
So it's like navigating a minefield. So is there anything else that we should watch out for?
Yeah, absolutely. So remote desktop protocol attacks have become increasingly popular. Many systems have remote desktop, allowing users to connect remotely. Attackers will exploit weak remote desktop protocol credentials, gaining access and then deploying their ransomware.
So I've used remote desktops before. The thought of someone sneaking in that way is actually kind of spine chilling, because somebody's just taking over your computer, or that's kind of scary.
It is. And then we have malicious mobile apps. With the world going mobile, some ransomware strains now target smartphones, camouflaged as legitimate apps.
Okay, I'm officially spooked, but it's not all doom and gloom, right? I mean, there's got to be a bright spot.
Yeah, absolutely. So the more we understand these techniques, the better prepared we are. Layered defenses, both technical and behavioral, can make a world of difference. And remember, knowledge is power. Being informed is half the battle.
Knowledge is half the battle. So there is hope after all, then. If we arm ourselves with knowledge, we can stay one step ahead of the cyber criminals.
That's the spirit. And in our next segment, we'll discuss precisely how to fortify our digital domains.
All right, so each layer of protection that you mentioned, Austin, it makes us feel a tad safer in the digital wilderness. But with ransomware evolving so quickly, how can we stay ahead and ensure our fortifications remain robust?
So that's the crux, isn't it? As the digital threat landscape shifts, our strategies too must adapt. So let's delve even deeper into these protective layers and proactive measures.
More knowledge, the better. Let's dive in.
So at the very foundation are regular backups. It's not just about doing them, but also verifying their integrity, making sure they haven't been modified, ensuring that they're not corrupted, and periodically testing the restore function. And that will guarantee that they're reliable when they're needed most. Moreover, by segmenting backups, you can prevent cross-contamination should one backup fail or fall victim to ransomware.
All right, so testing and segmenting, I've got it. What about daily operations?
So everyday digital behavior plays a pivotal role. Software hygiene, it extends beyond updating. You want to conduct regular security audits to identify potential vulnerabilities, patching systems, applications, even Internet of Things devices should become routine. Treat every digital interface as a potential gateway for attackers.
That's a comprehensive look at software. What about human factors?
Ah, the human element. It's often the weakest link. Continuous cybersecurity training is essential. Employees, friends, and families should be educated about the latest phishing techniques, social engineering tactics, and best practices in password management. Remember, an informed user is a protected user.
And for the super tech savvy among us?
There's network segmentation. By dividing your network into distinct zones, you ensure that even if one segment gets compromised, others remain unaffected. And for those who can, deploying a deception grid can be effective. It's essentially creating decoys in your network, diverting and studying attackers, gaining insight into their methods.
Sounds kind of like a spy thriller. So my background, of course, is in incident response and incident management. So if we had an incident response plan, you know, how exhaustive should that be?
Yeah, that's a great question. An incident response plan should be as detailed as possible. Define roles, outline decision-making protocols, establish communication hierarchies, both internally and externally, and detail the steps for data isolation, containment, and recovery. A clear roadmap minimizes panic during a breach.
So what about tabletop exercises? How often should we be doing those?
Frequency is key. Conduct these tabletop exercises quarterly, monthly. It really just depends on what the organization wants to do. But you want to update the scenarios to mirror the latest threats. Involve personnel from all departments, not just IT. The more realistic and cross-functional these drills are, the better equipped that you'll be.
But what if, despite all the precautions, we wind up still getting caught in the ransomware web?
It's a good question. So first, remember the adage echoed by agencies like the FBI, do not pay. Engage with cybersecurity professionals immediately. Often they can help decrypt data without caving to demands. Also, by maintaining open lines of communication with your stakeholders, whether it's customers, employees, partners, you ensure that misinformation doesn't spread and trust is maintained throughout.
So it sounds like a nice mix of high-tech strategies and good old-fashioned just preparedness.
Indeed. In the digital age where threats lurk around every corner, being well-equipped and well-informed is our strongest shield.
All right, Austin. So far, we've unraveled the present tapestry of ransomware. But as we know, the world of tech doesn't stand still. What can we expect in the upcoming years? What kind of tools and strategies are on the horizon to combat these threats?
You're spot on. Technology's ever-changing nature means that cybersecurity is like playing 4D chess. Predicting specifics is challenging, but we can definitely sketch an outline based on emerging trends.
All right, I'm buckled in. Take us on a ride to the future.
So starting with a touch of darkness, we have evolving ransomware mechanisms. With advancements in artificial intelligence, machine learning, we're likely facing ransomware attacks that can dynamically adapt. These could camouflage themselves, mutate to bypass defenses, and even make real-time decisions based on the environments that they're infecting.
So it's an AI arms race between the good guys and the bad guys.
Precisely. And with hyper-targeted attacks, cyber criminals will likely use data analytics and AI to pinpoint specific vulnerabilities within industries, companies, even individual users, making their attacks more efficient and more devastating.
So it's like having a sniper instead of a shotgun. But there's got to be some advancements on our side too, right?
Absolutely. So on the defense front, you have next-gen security protocols. Those are emerging. These harness the power of quantum computing, making cryptographic methods exponentially more secure and tougher to crack. And with behavioral analytics and security, systems can track patterns on a granular level, detecting ransomware activities even before they manifest overtly.
Well, that sounds encouraging. But earlier you mentioned something about ransomware becoming accessible to the masses.
Yeah, so there's this concept called ransomware as a service. You may be familiar with software as a service, platform as a service. They have ransomware as a service now, which is incredibly troubling. It's a business model where sophisticated ransomware strains are made available to less tech-savvy criminals for a fee or a share of the profits. So imagine a world where launching a cyber attack is as simple as signing up for a software subscription.
That's kind of a chilling thought, but with every cloud, there has to be a silver lining, right?
Indeed. One of the most promising developments in the rise of global cybersecurity initiatives, countries and major tech corporations are increasingly pooling resources, sharing intelligence, and standardizing defense protocols. This collective approach dramatically enhances the global community's resilience.
So it's not just about individual defense, but it's also collective security. It's kind of heartening to see unity in the face of these threats.
Another glimmer of hope is the growth of cybersecurity education. Universities and tech institutes, they're introducing advanced cybersecurity courses, creating a new generation of experts equipped to handle evolving threats.
Education is always the secret weapon. I love it. So what's our take-home message as we look to the future?
Preparation and collaboration, Josh. While the digital realm is a nexus of both innovation and risk, by fostering global unity, investing in education, driving technological advancements, we can not just react, but proactively shape a more secure digital landscape.
All right, so Austin, we've delved deep into the world of ransomware, its far-reaching effects, and how to build our defenses against it. Our previous episode covered the importance of password managers, but passwords alone don't seem like it's just one layer of protection. So can you shed some light on what's next in our cybersecurity arsenal?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been really excited about this. So in today's cybersecurity landscape, complex passwords are a good start, but they're no longer sufficient just on their own. Enter multi-factor authentication, or MFA. Think of it as adding extra locks to your door, each requiring a different kind of key.
So this isn't just about adding an extra password.
Nope. It's about enhancing your verification process. Imagine after you enter your password, you're then asked for a unique code sent to your phone or generated by an app or even a physical security key.
So it sounds potent, but are all of those methods actually equal? Are they all just as good as each other?
It's a great question. While any MFA is better than none, they're not all created equal. So SMS or text-based MFA is a step up from just passwords. But it's worth noting that SMS codes can be intercepted, making them less secure. Authentication apps like Google Authenticator or Authy offer more security than SMS. And then there are physical security keys like YubiKey, considered top-notch for protection.
All right. So say I'm sold on an app or a physical key. So how would we set one of these things up?
Great question. So these are the steps. You want to choose your MFA method. You decide between an authentication app or a physical key. For many, the app strikes a good balance between security and convenience, especially considering that they're free. Two, enable multi-factor authentication on sites or apps that support it. Go into the settings of your frequently used online platforms. Look for security or authentication settings where you'll find instructions on setting up MFA. Then secure your backup codes. Once you've activated MFA, most services will provide you with backup codes, and these are crucial for accessing your account if you lose your primary authentication method.
Got it. So, and these backup codes, I'm guessing they're not just sticky notes on my monitor.
Exactly. You want to treat backup codes with the same level of security as your primary password. A secure approach is to store them in your password manager. This keeps them encrypted and accessible only by you, even if a device gets lost. As we discussed the importance of MFA in fortifying your digital defenses, it's essential to note that cybersecurity is a rapidly evolving landscape. New threats emerge regularly, and staying informed is key to safeguarding your digital presence. In today's interconnected world, it's critical to adapt and take proactive steps to protect your online identity. Implementing MFA is like having a digital guardian that ensures only you can access your accounts.
Absolutely, Austin. And it's not just about protecting sensitive data. It's also about peace of mind. Knowing that your online presence is fortified against cyber threats, it's priceless.
Well said, Josh. To our listeners, don't wait. Enhance your security with MFA and stay one step ahead of the cyber game.
Thanks, Austin. Here's to stronger defenses and safer digital adventures.
Cheers to that. And remember, dear listeners, in the digital realm, always aim to be one step ahead. Until next time, stay secure.